Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation is recorded in Paul's epistle to the Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 22nd, 23rd verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. This is our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, Thursdays has been set aside recently to observe the fruits of the Spirit on the basis of this same text. And today, we take a look at kindness. What is it? What is life like without it? And what is the relationship of Jesus Christ to this virtue of kindness, this fruit of the Spirit? Well, most of us know what kindness is by nature. And in fact, around the world, everybody understands what kindness is. This is not merely a Christian virtue like so many other virtues. These are things that are understood around the world. Writers from every religion and every culture have made statements about kindness. Let me give you a few examples. Most of us are familiar with Aesop's Fables, the story of the lion and the mouse. A lion one day finds a mouse underneath its foot, picks it up, is going to go and eat it. The mouse says, "Let me go. I can help you out someday." The lion is quite amused that a mouse might help him out, but he lets him go. And then one day, the lion is captured. He's tied up, and there comes the little mouse. Chews through the rope, and the lion is free. Next to Scripture, one theologian close to Luther said that Aesop's Fables was his most important work. He read it because while it was written by a Greek 6 centuries B.C., it included wisdom about those moral virtues which are taught in Scriptures. In fact, the Ten Commandments are about virtues. The ancient Chinese thinker Confucius put it this way: "I expect to pass through this world but once any good thing, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any fellow creature, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again." And of course, you can go to modern day religious figures, the Dalai Lama, who claims that my religion is kindness. Contemporary sociologists, psychologists, Goethe from the years ago, said that kindness is the golden chain that holds society together. And the German, or rather the American psychologist, William James, probably one of the most famous and influential psychologists that even affects us today, said that there are three things in life that are important. The first is to be kind, the second is to be kind, and the third is to be kind. But of course, for all those, you know, well-known sayings, you know, I think the one that I found on the blog perhaps says it just as pointedly. It says, "Kindness takes all the sharp edges off of our abrasive interactions with others." Kindness takes all the sharp edges off of our abrasive interactions with others. In fact, on this secular holiday of Valentine's Day, one recent study of 37 cultures published about 5 years ago, in asking the question of 16,000 subjects, what was the one trait in a mate for both sexes that they looked for? The answer was, number one, kindness. It says something, doesn't it? What is life like without kindness? Look at the horrors around you. Look at what goes on at the college, among roommates, among colleagues. Look at the world pasted on the front of the newspaper. The horrors that we are seeing. As one well-known person from the Templeton Foundation put it, in this society, everyone is intensely independent. We rely on ourselves, not on others. We don't like others doing things for us. Kindness runs counter to our obsessive need for self-sufficiency. In its place, we find cruelty, rudeness, neglect, and sharp edges. We live life with a knife. Forget about all the slasher movies out there. We're the ones that are carrying the knife. We do it in our words, when we say things that we don't think about, and we hurt people. The same words that can cause people to have laughter and joy can cut to the heart and can bring tears, can bring anger because we slight people. Just words, not even talking about actions. But all these things are really about kindness. We hurt people, we do not forgive, we harbor resentment. Lives are lost, they're hurt, families are broken by other people who fail to show gentle love. That's what kindness is, it's gentle love. And our failure to be kind to others, our spouse, our parents, our children, our colleagues, all of our loved ones, even strangers on the street, this is an active and passive violation of God's law. Who is our neighbor? It's the person next to us, wherever we are at. Oh, that's a stranger over there. That's our neighbor in a foreign city at home. Christian scripture is clear that people who do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All of us are guilty of not being kind to one another, of not doing what God has called us to do. And do we think it a small thing when we speak words that hurt other people? This is not a small thing to God. God calls us today and every day of our lives to repent of these sins. These are the things for which Jesus Christ went to the cross. Christians ought to be the first in this virtue. Paul said, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good, especially to those who are of the household of faith." But we are often last. This is the mark of our fallen nature, the heart of those who are without hope and without hope of standing before God because of what we've done. We're all guilty. We are all sinners. And this is where Christianity, you know, puts all the other religions in perspective. It is not by kindnesses that we can win our way to heaven. We do not win our way to God through kindnesses. We have already disqualified ourselves because we're born sinners. None of our kindnesses will ever win favor before God. It took Jesus to do that. And that's why when we turn to Christ, there we see kindness put into perspective in this Passion season. He who came and really gave us deliverance. If you want a model of kindness, look to Jesus Christ. His disciples, they disbelieved, they denied, they doubted, and they ducked off in the middle of the night and left him on his own. The Jewish and Roman authorities, they spit upon Jesus, they mocked him, they tortured him, they tried him, they crucified, nailed him to a tree. And he showed kindness in all of these things. Think about that. The very Lord of the universe who could had the sharpest words and he could have killed anybody at the moment. He had the power to remove himself from the cross. He had the power to deal with anybody who was wronging him. And he stood there and kindly accepted it all. Showed kindness to his disciples who had fled into the night, to the thieves who were hanging around him on the cross. Forgave Peter. Even forgave those who were putting him up upon the cross. And then while he was hanging there, he sent a disciple to be kind, to show kindness to his own mother. That was our Lord giving us a model of kindness. Jesus' life, his death, he, hanging upon that cross, looked down upon the whole world, and by his very blood shed upon that cross, he forgave us all our sins. He took away all the unkindnesses that we have ever done, not done, done wrongly, Jesus forgave us all of our sins, not just the lack of kindness, but all the others, some of them far worse. His resurrection was his gentle message of love to all of us, as Paul so well reminds us in Titus chapter 3 in the verses that follow. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. If God has shown such kindness to us, we ought to show kindness to each other. Amen.